Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are doing an episode that was originally a Monday mini, but it just got too big, about everything that's going on, or some specific things that are going on, excuse me, with abortion in the United States recently and reproductive rights in the United States. And a lot of it is changing very rapidly. So today, as we record this, the date is March 5th, 2024. I did write a lot of this about a week ago because, again, I thought this was going to be a Monday mini. But I updated it today. So
is today Super Tuesday? Does that mean things?
It does mean things. Oh, dear.
Apparently you can get donuts, but I think it's really important that we remember it's voting season, y'all. And this should impact this some of your... I think most of our listeners already are on point, but just reminder.
This shows why it's so important, because a lot of this happened because Trump appointed judges that did what he said they were going to do, which is pretty much out ban abortion. So yeah, voting does matter, as frustrating as it can be to hear that. Quick content warning: there's going to be nothing too in-depth, but mentions of rape and suicide. Also, this is a very U.S. focused episode, but we would love to hear what is going on in the U.S. And around the world, because, you know, we're focusing kind of on something pretty specific here, but there's a lot of ground that we have been meaning to talk about and haven't yet because of just scheduling and stuff. So just let us know what's going on for you, where you are. And also, this is a primer, since it was originally going to be a mini. There's a lot more we could go into with all of this. Because originally I wanted to talk about the Comstock Act, but it just became difficult to separate that from everything else that's going on and why we need to talk about the Comstock Act. Okay, so as many of you probably heard, in February 2024, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos count as children, essentially. Therefore, if they are destroyed for whatever reason, people can be tried for wrongful death of this embryo. This decision obviously has huge ramifications, and it is part of a larger push for so-called fetal personhood.
I'm sorry. That title just, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous that you can't help but like just scoff.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. There's been a lot of like, you know, in the darkest, this dark time, there's been a lot of like, does that mean I can ride the carpool
right
way? Like a lot.
The TikTok videos have been pretty priceless of like treating the little embryo / Petri dishes as
right
as children. So
right, yes, right. But states are going forward with this. 14 states have introduced fetal personhood pushes or laws, and at least two have been enacted. After this decision, Alabama's fertility clinics were sent into absolute chaos. Like, legally, no one was sure what was going on here. The decision did use a lot of Western Christian religious language, which is no surprise. Companies have already stopped shipping frozen embryos, and multiple places have stopped all IVF services after this. And just a reminder, all kinds of things might cause someone to seek out IVF, including infertility caused by cancer, a bunch of other stuff, which I think is getting left out a lot of some conversations. But really, it shouldn't matter. That should just be available to people. The case was brought after some frozen embryos were dropped, and the potential parents in question alleged that it constituted wrongful death. Essentially, the parents in question had stopped pursuing IVF, but they wanted their embryos to stay frozen. A patient somehow got into the freezer, touched something, and got like freezer burn and knocked over some embryos. And so the parents in this question were suing for wrongful death because of that.
Oh, so they f- themselves over because they're not going to be able to get the service at all.
Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't think it through. A lot of people didn't think things through.
Which I feel like should be the tagline for any of these laws. And I'm just so angry.
Didn't
like,
think
I can't.
It through.
They didn't think this through.
No.
Even though other people have and warned them, but they didn't.
No.
Sorry. That was sarcastic laugh. Okay.
Yes. Well, and then it was so unpopular after this happened. And people were freaking out, rightfully so, about what it meant that even Trump denounced it. A bunch of other Republicans did, too. But these were, like, Trump-appointed judges that made the decision. Amy Coney Barrett is on record supporting an organization that agreed that embryos constitute as people. So, again, appointed by Trump. And the sad fact is almost every Republican supports IVF for certain reasons. But they allowed for this to happen and voted for this. Like, they created the situation with their extremist anti-abortion rhetoric. Like, the environment they've been cultivating allowed for this. And one of the big issues, other than stripping people's rights, is just, again, legally, how does this look? Because, yeah, that means there's a whole freezer of children, I guess. And this means that people have to pay to store them forever. Like,
so what happens if they're not viable?
You have to keep them.
So even though they can never actually successfully be true fetuses, like, just women are all going to be f***ed. Like, we're all about to be arrested.
I mean, yes, because you and I, when we were discussing this, we were talking about, which we'll talk about a bit more in a second, there's already this push about using contraceptives is killing children. This could be applied to so many other things. And yes, from what I understand, at least how the law is now, which they are trying to change because they're all panicking, again, didn't think it through, that even if you just can't throw away a frozen embryo. It doesn't matter, whatever the case. So that means that, yes, you have to pay for the storage forever. Like, it will pass on to the kids, like actual living kids moving around, their kids. And they don't have an answer for what happens if the entire family line dies out, if, like, that means the government has to pay for them. There have been a lot of viral clips of conservatives who championed this ruling, realizing in real time, when they are saying that they want more kids, that A, I guess you have them already, if frozen embryos count, and that B, this directly negatively impacts IVF for people who are actively trying for and desperately want kids. So, that's awful, but that is only one piece of the damage here. There are genetic tests that could be affected too. Some providers will probably stop engaging in IVF altogether because there is a risk of damaging embryos in the process. And we are now talking about a level of control and extremism that reveals that, yeah, they don't know what the f*** they're talking about. Like, we've already known this, but this is very clear. But apparently they're still realizing it. And they are the ones enabling this. And they'll never change their tune, because that's just the problem with American politics, like especially for conservatives who have like held hands with so many dangerous sects to get power, even if their stances are largely unpopular.
Right.
Like even if this is largely unpopular.
You know, I'm wondering, because we've talked about it in our surrogacy episode a little bit, but a lot of these clinics are moneymakers. Like this is,
yeah,
this is going to hit some businesses pretty hard. I can't imagine, as pro-capitalist, pro-money, pro-corporation that most of these Republicans are, that they're not going to get some real big like pushback for the money they're taking away.
Yeah, and we definitely are going to talk about another example of that that is happening. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, they are scrambling right now, but they're trying to like, they're trying to walk this fine line of like, oh, well, IVF for, you know, heterosexual couples, only for them, because then that's good, but otherwise, no. But then, what about the embryo, though? Because now you've said they're all people, they're all children. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Snagajob. Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242-424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
All right, so one thing is IVF, yes, is very expensive for people who are seeking it out, and really shouldn't be paused unless that is what the patients want. Like, but if you want it to succeed, then it shouldn't be paused, which is what is happening
right
for people in Alabama.
Right. As in fact, from MSNBC, they say, as a result of IVF, there are as many as 1.5 million frozen embryos in the country. The Alabama decision might mean that some of these embryos need to remain frozen forever, at least until someone uses them. Otherwise, anyone who destroys the embryos or even uses them for research could face claims for wrongful death and be liable for millions of dollars in damage.
Yeah. And infertility impacts about 15% of U.S. couples. So that's pretty big. As I said, infertility is not the only reason people use IVF, but that's still a pretty big number. And yes, I have, as I said, I did see a bunch of, quote, like lighter questions of this ruling, like if embryos count as dependents now. Like, it just has so many impacts that clearly were not considered. So,
I mean, at what point can they be charged? Can people be charged with abandonment? And it's never going to be men. So,
right.
Then also, it kind of says men are useless, because we technically have children.
That's true.
So, men, for real, for real?
I'm sure that was not what they wanted us to take away.
I mean, that's
away,
what I'm going to take away from it. That's the highlight.
Well, as we've been mentioning, there has been a really big pushback to this, including measures proposed to protect IVF in Alabama. Like, this is ongoing right now, including one that would, quote, provide civil and criminal immunity to persons providing goods and services related to in vitro fertilization, except acts or omission that are intentional and not arising from or related to IVF services. But it does not correct the fundamental underlying problem of fetal personhood, I guess. Other states are following suit with this, including Florida, but Florida has paused theirs after what happened in Alabama. And it's really showcased just how tenuous access to reproductive rights have been after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which is what we were scared of, which is what we were saying. This is part of that. And now we are seeing something else. And it is the return of the Comstock Act. Yes. Which I just remembered today, a villain in one of my favorite video games is named Comstock. And he's kind of like this. And now I'm like, huh.
Probably was purposeful.
Probably was. Probably was. The world he created was very bad. I should tell you something.
Him and Reagan should be right up there together. I'm just kidding.
So, yes, one of the chilling implications of this and of this conversation and conservative push that has been going on for a while around reproductive rights concerns the abortion pill and the Comstock Act, which some ultra-conservatives believe bans abortion on a federal level already. So, what is the Comstock Act? It is a 19th century anti-vice law that has now become the center of an anti-abortion push to ban the mailing of abortion pills like mifepristone, which is currently used in about half of all abortions in the U.S. It was passed in 1873 and was named after a deeply religious anti-vice crusader, Anthony Comstock, who was reportedly a serial masturbator and definitely a racist, a homophobic, misogynist. And it was designed to prevent the mailing of contraceptives, quote, obscene, lewd, lascivious, indecent, filthy, or vile article, matter, thing, device, or substance, and any, quote, instrument, substance, drug, medicine, or thing that could aid in an abortion, which was expounded on in 1909.
Right. I feel like this is one of those, the call is coming from inside the house situations.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay. So Comstock believed that the mere existence of these things and even nudity and art was behind all of society's ills. Again, he seems to be blaming victims because he...
Yes.
Never mind. And his own perceived shortcomings. Yes. So they made me sin. He had been, quote, horrified by the amount of porn and alcohol he saw his fellow soldiers consume as a Union soldier. So he wanted it all banned to sanitize America. But even at that time, he was seen as extreme. This was the Victorian era, just as a reminder. They even had a word to make fun of his intense views, Comstockery.
Yeah. So just to reiterate, even at that time, they thought he was much.
This serial masturbator, which they probably witnessed. Let's just be real clear.
Yeah. So this term Comstockery was first popularized by George Bernard Shaw. And it was sort of used by a lot of Europeans to mock what they saw as American backwardness and puritanical nature. So it was at first, it was like, what are those Americans doing with their Comstockery? But then people started to use it in the U.S. too.
So that's, I wonder if he has family. I hope they're ashamed. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't want that. I don't know them. I'm sure they're nice people. But I'm wondering, they're like, why the f*** did he have to do this? And now our names.
Yeah.
Like caught up in this. Anyway, so Comstock wrote in his book, Traps for the Young, quote, the most infamous scoundrel may send the vilest matter to the purest boy or girl. And this is being done systematically. Oh, dear.
Yes. He was allegedly largely influenced by the death of his mother in childbirth, but he had no knowledge of women's bodies, reproductive health, medicine, etc. So, yes. Also of note, given some of his previous quotes, not that I think we should be putting too much stock in Comstock, but he actually wouldn't have been opposed to legal abortion. It was the, quote, back alley, heavy quotes, abortions he wanted to stop.
Wouldn't he want abortions? Because if childbirth was the reason she died,
right,
not having a child,
I'm pretty sure, like, He did write about it. So, okay. Again, he was not against abortion
per se
at large. Okay. Just what he viewed as, again, heavy quotes, back alley
right.
abortion.
But however, he was against the women's suffrage movement. Surprise, surprise. And this was a time when a lot of things around gender roles in the U.S. were in flux. Women pressing for the fight to vote, fighting marital rape and drunkenness with temperance, seeking financial rights, all things that scared people like Comstock when it came to the stability of the family.
Right. Another big factor in this was that, generally speaking, abortion was legal in the U.S. until, quote, quickening, or when the pregnant person could feel a fetus move, which was around 4 or 5 months. Prior to that, it was generally accepted that pregnant folks could make their own decision, usually involving a midwife who was a woman. This didn't sit well with typically male physicians who wanted that money. So they wanted to drive women out of their profession and consolidate their business, make more money. Another fact is that Anglo-Saxon women, white women, weren't having as many babies. So you get Comstock coming out of the woods like, whoa. What is this? That's my impression of Comstock.
A little bit right.
Yeah. Still, that didn't stop Comstock from convincing Congress with a collection of, quote, obscene items and materials that he called his Chamber of Horrors to pass the Comstock Act. And he was granted the role of special agent at the U.S. Post Office so that he could monitor the mail legally. Thousands were prosecuted, subject to fines, jail time, or labor. It could be for something like a letter that you sent to your spouse. Some died by suicide, and 160 tons of literature was confiscated and destroyed. This was something he bragged about before he died in 1915. Of note, words like obscenity were not defined and left to people like Comstock to determine. Which is great. That's just great.
I feel like this is a similar story to what's happening with the Florida governor. Like, he's having to backtrack a little bit, and this is his legend because he's the one that's doing the same nonsense today. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, DeSantis is doing, like, we gotta make sure we're protecting our children. There's so many obscenities, and now he's having to backtrack. We're like, whoa, I didn't mean this much. I'm just kidding. Because he knows he's about to be, like, placed in history at this level.
Right.
I hope so.
I mean, I hope so. But Comstock seemed real proud of it.
Right. I guess maybe he's learning, but he being DeSantis, but. Mm. Yeah. Mm. This episode is brought to you by Snagajob. Snagajob is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242-424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
In 1878, Comstock had Madame Restel, a well-known abortion provider, arrested. She died by suicide. And to do all this, he worked with the police and the YMCA, which formed the New York Society for the Suppression of Vice, in part in order to enforce this act. And their logo literally features a man burning books.
Again, I feel like that could be DeSantis's, like, also representation. So in 1915, reproductive rights activist Mary Ware Dennett was charged with violating the Comstock Act after distributing pamphlets about sex education, even though she included this quote: "At present, unfortunately, it is against the law to give people information as to how to manage their sex relations so that no baby will be created." This was overturned in a historic landmark free speech case. Kind of good.
I want to come back to that because I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a worse outcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to come back to that. But just a note, famous artworks and books like Ulysses were subject to this act. And so Ulysses, Americans would like get it contraband from Europe because it was like a hugely popular book and you couldn't get it in the U.S. because of this Comstock Act. So it had a far-reaching impact. But it hasn't really been enforced since the 1930s, when judges argued that the language was way too broad and could literally ban things like surgical gloves. And then in 1936, it was further specified that the Comstock Act referred only to illegal items used for an abortion. In the 70s, contraceptives was removed from the language of the act. And the passing of Roe v. Wade basically rendered it inert. The 1965 case, Griswold versus Connecticut, had previously weakened it, ruling that contraception was legal for married couples, because before they could technically get prison time for getting it. So now Roe v. Wade has been overturned and a lot of these protections went away. Again, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, which led to Roe's overturning, was mentioned in the Alabama court ruling about IVF 15 times. Now, anti-abortion crusaders are looking to use Roe v. Wade not being there to bring the Comstock Act back. In fact, after Roe was overturned, the Biden administration officially released a memo saying the Comstock Act does not apply to abortion bills, which it doesn't, like even as it is now, because they've updated it. But they're still looking to change it and use it. In April 2023, a federal judge appointed by Trump in Texas ruled that when the FDA approved mifepristone 2 decades ago, they did so illegally, pointing to what they called serious safety concerns, which, yes, is bullshit. The Biden administration and the judge manufacturer appealed. We've talked about this before. At the same time, a judge in Washington ruled that the government must allow for access to this drug. Attorney generals in over 20 states have warned companies like Walgreens and CVS that they could get in legal trouble if they mailed the drug. The same judge from the Texas ruling, Kaczmarek, claimed that fathers have the constitutional right to control their daughters' access to birth control. So that's
weird
what
that
we're dealing
trust
with.
The mother, even though the matriarch is supposed to be raising the children. Very weird.
It is very strange. From Vox, here's a quote. Kaczmarek has claimed that being transgender is a, quote, mental disorder and that gay people are disordered. In a 2015 article, he denounced a so-called sexual revolution, which sought public affirmation of the lie that the human person is an autonomous blob of silly putty, unconstrained by nature or biology, and that marriage, sexuality, gender identity, and even the unborn child must yield to the erotic desires of liberated adults. So this is the what we're talking about, the people who are making these rulings here. This is what they think.
And for him to name children as, like, being erotic for adults, again, I'm like, I'm really thinking you might be telling on yourself, like, which is what we see too often.
We do indeed. We do indeed. So that whole, this whole thing started after a drag fundraising event to prevent LGBTQ plus suicide was shut down, and the students running the event sued, saying it infringed on their First Amendment free speech rights. But this judge argued there was a historical legal precedent against sexualized speech, citing the Comstock Act. Yep. A different guy in Texas, again, this, I was like, this is a story for another episode, but briefly, he led this charge to make his city a, quote, sanctuary for the unborn, in 2019, which was unanimously agreed upon amongst the all-male votees. As part of the effort, he contacted attorney Jonathan Mitchell, and according to Miss Magazine, quote, Mitchell submitted an amicus curiae, friend of the court, brief in Dobbs on behalf of Texas Right to Life, in which he denied that women need access to abortion in order to have control over their reproductive lives, arguing instead that they can simply refrain from having sex. This was also a part of the whole bounty hunter thing in Texas that rewards people for reporting anyone even remotely, potentially involved in an abortion. The quote continues, as Mitchell expounded to a town commission meeting in Edgewood, New Mexico, such a victory, quote, would be a defeat far more catastrophic than Dobbs for the supporters of abortion access. A ruling of that sort would effectively ban abortion nationwide, making it possible for abortions to be performed even in blue states. Because even though the Comstock Law does not ban abortion literally, it bans the shipment or receipt of any abortion-related equipment. This ruling was limited to mifepristone, but providers did say that they would pivot to another drug, misoprostol, if necessary, which is typically prescribed for things like stomach ulcers, but can be used for abortion, also safe. However, it's also under threat.
Right. So from The Guardian, but in practice, a ban on sending abortion tools through the mail or commercial transit is a ban on having those abortion tools altogether, both for medical and surgical abortions. After all, the pharmacist who dispenses abortion pills at a CVS or a community clinic, even in a legal state, does not manufacture the medicines herself. She receives them in a shipment from a pharmaceutical distributor, usually in the mail or in a delivery shipment. Similarly, the doctor, nurse, or midwife who performs a dilation and a curettage surgical abortion does not weld her own speculums or forge her own curettes. She does not manufacture her own syringes to administer antibiotics or painkillers, and she does not mold her own plastic hot water bottles to give to her patients for aftercare. She buys these, as she buys all other medical supplies, through the system of commerce through which Americans fulfill most to their knees and conduct most of their lives. It is the anti-choice movement's aim to remove abortion from that system of normal commerce, requiring providers to create alternative supply chains. The same way the anti-choice movement has removed abortion from the broader system of normal medicine, requiring providers to create alternative clinics. The anti-choice movement wouldn't need an act of Congress or even a judicial ruling. All it would need is to say it was enforcing a law already on the books.
Right. Which is why you've heard Republicans start to bring up the Comstock Act more and more, because this is what they're talking about doing. Just a reminder, all of this is hugely unpopular. A majority of Americans support access to safe abortions. The Comstock Act was hugely unpopular even then. but he got it through using the same tactics that we're seeing now. Also, I know we say this every time, but those drugs that we've been discussing are safe. They've been proven safe.
Are safe.
They're
completely safe.
Completely safe.
Literally, the level of side effects is along with Tylenol.
Yes. Completely safe. And you can still get them. So don't think that that's what we're saying. That's just something we need to be vigilant about, because this is what they're looking at doing. There is a push to repeal the Comstock Act. But given our current political climate, it's an uphill battle. And another note, it wouldn't ban abortion drugs outright. It would just pretty much, again, they're not thinking this through, because you use surgical gloves for other things. Like, but it would make it very, very, very difficult to get them. And this is all connected. This is all linked, like what we've been talking about, banning books, banning abortion, the role of police, the role of surveillance. Like, this is what we're saying when we talk about intersectional feminism and why it is all connected. And on top of that, it is really distressing that we've gotten these numbers about births from rapes because people were not able to access abortion, which is frightening in terms of lack of access, but also in what it suggests about rape numbers. And, you know, to be clear, if you want an abortion, a safe abortion, you should be able to get one. But this is very troubling data. But there have been some wins for reproductive rights in the U.S., including in conservative states and elsewhere, because of people doing the work and fighting back. So that's something else. Like, it can be very disheartening to hear something like this. And it is. It is. But there are also so many people fighting and who aren't giving up and who are doing these things, and it does matter. So keep that in mind. And also outside of the U.S., for instance, France just enshrined abortion rights into their constitution in March of 2024 as we record this. And a lot of people said that were interviewed about it said in part after seeing what happened in the U.S. So
exactly.
Yep.
We're a cautionary tale. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yes.
Wonderful.
As we said at the top, I'm sure we'll be revisiting this a lot. There's a lot of stuff that we need to go back to that's happened around abortion in the U.S. But also, listeners, if you have any resources, if you live anywhere in the U.S. or outside of the U.S. where you've been involved in something around abortion, or there's something going on you think we should know about, please, please, please let us know. That is so valuable to us. You can email us at stephanieatmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram and TikTok. That Steph will never told you. We have a Tee Public store, and we have a book that has a whole chapter on abortion and reproductive rights that you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Steph will never told you is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit tomboyx.com to shop.